Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges, I want to go to Judges chapter 6. Amen. Sound like the youth are having some time back there. Amen. Don't make me have to crank it back up. We'll crank it up. They ain't going to have better time than we do. Come on, somebody. Judges chapter 6. Hey, let me just say to you, man, we had a great beginning on our focus group. We had over 260 sign up. We had 196 of the ones who signed up show up. And so that was incredible. So if you did sign up, we want you to come and be a part of that. If you didn't sign up, then we want you to come and be a part of that. We had some people who signed up on 6 different ones. Now, I don't know how you're going to make that happen, but what we don't want is different personalities to go to different ones. We don't want you to have multiple personalities. We don't count you 6 times. Amen. So, but you come and be a part. When I was getting this message together tonight, I thought, man, this thing, I need to wait and preach it Sunday morning. But I felt like tonight's the one that the Lord put in my spirit. So I'm going to preach to you on the subject tonight. Come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. Hallelujah. Come out of hiding. See, Wednesday night, folk, get a little home cooking with a little spice on it. Because, you're home. I ain't got to worry about folks who don't understand me. Because they don't usually come on Wednesday night. So those of you who don't know me, you're about to get to know me. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse number 2, when you get there, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say hang on. And the amens have it. And here's what it reads. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, I want you to underline, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. Then in verse 11, drop there with me. Verse 11, the Bible says, Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, not Oprah, but Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Would you look at somebody and tell them, The Lord is with you, you mighty person of valor. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Make it come alive into our spirit that we may receive it. That we may stand upon it, and that we may use it for food for our spirit, for battle, and for encouragement in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Now, this, the Lord is with you, doesn't do you any good if you think that this is just talking to Gideon. The Lord was not just with Gideon, the Lord is with you. You may go, well, it doesn't really seem like the Lord is with me. Well, listen, sometimes, some people ask, why does bad things happen? Sometimes it's not God. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's just your stupid decision making. Everybody all right? Look at somebody, tell them, Pastor ain't mad at nobody. I'm just trying to help you. Because sometimes it ain't no demon. It's just stupid. And the prophet said stupid is as stupid does. All right? But you got to hear the Lord say to you that he is with you. It's not enough for you to hear me say that he is with you. You need to hear God say that he is with you. And in order for him to be with you, you got to be doing the things that he wants you to do. And living and behaving and having the right attitude that he wants you to have. See, we think that God is like the government. That it doesn't matter what we do, the government's supposed to bail us out. No, that ain't the way it rolls. God comes along beside you and begins to deliver you out of when you get a mind and a desire to get out of the situation that you're in, and you begin to declare that God did not design me to live in a dilapidated state with my mind tore up and my family tore up and I'm being beat up from the floor up. That's not what God designed me to live like. He fearfully and wonderfully made me, and he knew me while I was still in my mother's womb. Then you begin to get a different perspective of what God has in store for you. But the problem is too many of us are hiding in a cave. Corey, if you'll give me a little bit more monitor up here, do what you want to out there, just give me a little bit more up here. So our text tells us that the Israelites were hiding from the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people from the east because they were afraid of the people. Let me ask you, what are you afraid of? Why are you hiding from God? You're sitting by some people right now that has potential. You don't know what's inside of the person sitting next to you. There are some of you sitting in this place tonight that 5 years ago, I wouldn't have gave you a plum nickel for you. But God has come into your life, caused a transformation, and turned your life around, and you ain't the same person as you once was. And you've got to believe that because of Jesus, old things have passed away. That person is gone. That person is done. And I'm a new creature. And I'm going to quit hiding in amongst the stuff and understand that God has a blessing with my name on it. Because point number one, if you're taking notes, God is pushing on us. Let me tell you, when you get things right with God, God don't just let you sit still. He pushes on you. I don't mind when God pushes on me. I just don't like it when he uses other people to push on me. I don't have a trouble with God pushing on me, but it gets on my last nerve when God uses other people to push me. But God will use other people. When we follow God, he seems to always be pushing us up, out front. I remember many years ago, and I'm not going to pick on him tonight, but I remember when Ryan got saved on a Wednesday night. He'd come up here and pardon my French, but he wouldn't say crap if he had a mouthful of it. He wouldn't talk. What's your name? What's your name? Ryan World. But now he's going all over the world with a ministry and talking and praying and praying in public and doing stuff, witnessing on the street. Why? Because there was something inside of him that God has pulled out of him that pushed up and out so that he could do the things that he's doing. The young girl who sang tonight, Andrea, who sang the lead on that last song. Beautiful voice. Man, you should have heard her when we first started working with her. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of praise. She's going to kill me after service. I just want y'all to know that. I would say, sing, girl. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Yeah, she gonna get me. But now, Lord, make me a house. I mean, she's singing it out, man. And I don't know where, I don't know what was pushed down or why it was pushed down, but it was. Maybe you know who or what it was that pushed you into that cave and that pushed you into that den and pushed you into that stronghold. But I've come by on a Wednesday night to tell you that God's ready for you to quit hiding behind all the stuff and all behind all the excuses and declare and decide, I am the Lord's person, I'm the Lord's man, I'm the Lord's woman, and I want everything that God has for me. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. He said, God said, I've called you out of darkness into light. The unprofitable servant went and hid his talent, and the master was not pleased with the servant. The unprofitable servant hid it. But he said, God said, I'll make you a city set on a hill where everybody can see. Because you are the testimony that God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. See, this is uncomfortable for us. Because the more that you're out front, the more of a target you become.
Well, I don't understand why the devil's picking on me.
Well, it might be because you're trying to come out. It might be because you're trying to come out from being hid. It might be that you're trying to get out from under the thumb of the enemy. It might be the fact that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Don't think that the enemy is excited about you wanting deliverance, about you wanting to come out of your shell, about you trying to come into all that God has for you. The enemy is not going to be excited about that. The devil's not excited about you putting your marriage together, about putting your life together, about putting your mind together, putting your emotions together, putting your finances together. The devil wants to keep you broke, busted, and disgusted. But there are no rewards without some risk. Right? Life, this is a real life lesson here. You ready? Life, if your mama didn't tell you this, I won't tell you. Life is going to cost you. You can't just spend life. You got to invest life. Life is going to cost you. Life is going to cost you. But listen to this now. God uses relationships to bring in and take stuff out and in us and out of us. That you don't understand. You don't understand why that person gets on your last nerve, but you like them. Anybody got any relations like that? Yeah. I got a couple of friends. We get together and I say, man, I just want to punch you in the face. I love you, man, but I just want to pop you in your pipe. I want to throat punch you. You know, yesterday was National Throat Punch Day. You missed out, yeah. But how many know what I'm talking about? You just want to punch them in their pipe. You just want to throat punch them. Just shut up. But you like them. You can't help but like them. You want to be mad at them, but you can't. Why? Usually it's because God put them in your life to bring something out of you or to put something in you, to make a deposit. God flows through relationships. You see, I don't have a problem having a relationship with my Bible. Me and my Bible, we good. I don't have a problem having a relationship with my faith. My faith, we're good. I don't have a problem having a relationship with worshiping God. I can worship God all by myself. Matter of fact, I have sometimes a better worship service all by myself. Because I ain't got to wonder if somebody likes the song. I ain't got to wonder about it. I just close my eyes and have myself a Holy Ghost worship time. I ain't got to worry about it. I just don't care sometimes, right? But listen to this, church. All good things flow through relationships. God has designed this thing so that he includes other people in my space. And here's what I've learned. Some of the people in my space are crazy. But that's what God uses. God uses people in your space, in your time, so to create and or to dig out of you or to place something in you. Can you say amen? But now here's what you need to understand. You need relationships. You need them. You can't get around them. Well, I just, you know, some of us old timers, you know, we like that old song, Papa. We like, me and Jesus, we got a whole thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. No, you don't. That's so unscriptural. That's so unbiblical. No, no, no. You need other people. And the way you treat and interact with other people is a clue in how you interact with God. So if nobody likes you, God may not like you. He loves you, but he might not like you. Because God has so designed for most of what I need flows through tunnels called relationships. Things that I need. Listen, I don't know how many years ago, good Lord. When I was preparing this, I didn't realize that Papa was going to be here tonight. But I don't know, probably 18 years ago, Papa, that God put him or me in his life. And I would go to Papa. And back then it was Pastor Watson. And I'd go to Pastor Watson and I'd introduce myself, you know. Hello, Pastor Watson. Ronnie Reed. Good to meet you, sir. Well, good to meet you, son. Bless him, Jesus. And then I would call him up and ask him to lunch. And later on, his wife asked me, she goes, he would ask me, what does that young boy want with an old man? I'll tell you what I wanted. I wanted his wisdom. I wanted his knowledge. I wanted his anointing. I wanted somebody, because my daddy was 500 miles away. I needed somebody who would get in my grill. And there's been a few times in the last 20 years, I really didn't want him in my life. Why? Because he told me stuff I didn't want to hear. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But we need those people in our life to challenge us, to use sandpaper, if you will, to get the rough edges off of us, to mold us and make us into something that we're not right now. The people who get on your last nerve, God might be using in order to direct you in a certain situation or in a certain direction. You need relationships. Well, I ain't got to do that. Yes, you do. Relationships can take you where places where money can't get you. See, money can't get you access. I'll never forget, and this won't mean a whole lot to you, but it will to Roger and some of those people. You know, back in at camp meeting, you know, at camp meeting in that back room back there, the holies of holies, only the big wigs get to go back there. Only the people really important get to go back there. Where I was sitting with Papa one day, and Papa said, come on, Ronnie, because Papa's a big wig. Shh, don't tell him. So he said, come on, go with me, Ronnie. And I said, yes, sir. And I just walked back there. And I walked back there like I owned the joint. Check this out. Relationship. And here's what Papa said to the other big wigs. He goes, you fellas don't mind if my son sits in with us? And they go, no, not at all. Access, relationship. See, you got to understand that relationship will get you access where money can't get you. And it flows through relationships. That's why you got to be careful when you pass people going up the ladder. You better treat them good, because you're going to pass them when you headed down the ladder. Right? That's why I tell my children, I'm good to my children. They're going to decide what nursing home I go into. You make your kids mad if you want to. I want mine to be good. That's why I tell them, you got to have a good job. I don't want to be in no slum. I want a nice place. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That implies cost and risk. That implies that if sheep don't have a shepherd, the sheep are in trouble. That implies that we're being sent out into a hostile environment, and only if the Lord is my shepherd, I will be able to dwell in the midst of wolves and remain unscathed. Man, we're in the midst of wolves. How can you go through some of the things that you've been through and still not be bitter? I'll tell you how. It was by the grace and the mercy of God. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. The problem comes with most of us, that most of us respond to pain, to hurt, with withdrawing, going back into our caves. We get out of our shell and make sure, guaranteed, the devil's going to make sure somebody's going to be there to hurt our feelings. And then we're going to want to retreat back to the safety of the cave. We want to retreat back to the safety. You know, and I'm just so surprised with how many people are ready to fight in the flesh, but are ready to take flight in the spirit. If somebody came at you, if somebody crossed you, said something to you, all of a sudden you bow up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody cut you off in traffic. I don't care. You could be like a little skinny blonde and two men cut you off in traffic. You'd be like, ain't that right, Kim? Like you ain't big as a minute. That I could thump probably harder than you could hit. But you're on bow up. But then somebody hurt your feelings. Ooh. I ain't ever going to church again. Oh, get over it. For goodness sake. Get over it. Would you look at your neighbor and say, quit taking yourself so serious. I'm going to try to help you. I'm really, listen, this now it's going to be a little funny, but I'm being real serious. That you need to learn how to laugh at your own self. Laugh at your own self. Quit getting mad when everybody else laughs at you. Learn to laugh with them. You know, listen, I had somebody show up at my door the other day. I ain't going to go into a lot of details. But, you know, I've dealt with these people, this person before, and they're on my last nerve. But they showed up at my door, and here's what they said. They said, I just want you to know that what I got to say to you, I ain't going to say to you in the house of God. I go, whoa. And they go, you can spin all the lies you want to. I'm thinking, what are you even talking about? You can spin all the lies you want to. But I ain't ever going to step foot back on your property, and I ain't ever coming to your church again unless you welcome me like the Holy Spirit. And they stepped back, and I went, okay. I mean, you know, okay, thanks for coming. I'm not going to let, well, what did I do? What did I? Ain't no telling what I did. I don't even care what I did. Because when you deal with crazy people and you argue with crazy people, people from a distance don't know which one's crazy. Yeah, I know you're going to listen to the podcast. You know who I'm talking about. Gone, girl. The problem comes that we get this pain and we withdraw and go back into the cave. Man, get some, what's that word, moxie? Isn't that a word? Get some, I don't really know what that means, but it sounds good. Get some moxie about you. There's some other words I could use, but it ain't appropriate for church. So, but... Yeah. Becky, the bookkeeper's going. Hey, Papa's here. I'm good. Life presses us so that we say that the cost is too much. The benefit is not worth the price. That's what the devil wants you to think. Your marriage is in trouble. Well, the cost is too much for the benefit. You don't know. You haven't had the benefit yet. Because many times you make the investment now and the benefit comes later. Good preaching, Pastor. Life presses us. People that retreat into their own world say it's too much. People who say, I believe in God, but I've been hurt, and I'm going to sit at home and just read my Bible, and the devil has them backed into a cave, and they don't even know it. Well, I'm just going to stay away from people. I know what I'm talking about. When I came to this church, that's what I said. Here's what I said about you. Most of y'all wasn't here. Matter of fact, nobody was here when I first came here that's here now. Anybody here that when I first came, you was here? Ginger. All right. Yep. Two. Only two I hadn't killed or run off. But when I came, here's what I said. I said, I'm going to pastor people from arm's distance. I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of being taken advantage of. I'm just going to pastor people. I'm just going to get up and preach. And I'm just going to pastor people from then. A wise man, Brother Daryl Rushing from First Assembly in Inverness, great man of God, he said to me, because I told him that, we were talking, and I just got into town, and I told him that, and he goes, well, that's wonderful, Ronnie. And if you don't know who he is, he's like Michael J. Fox before God. He's like a 70-year-old Michael J. Fox. And he gets up, and he comes over, and he goes, well, come here and hug me. I thought at first, I don't know you. I don't want to hug you. He said, put your arms up. I put my arms. He said, now hug me. He said, you can't do that at arm's length. He says, and you're right, Ronnie, you're going to get hurt. He said, but don't let the devil run you back in a cave. And I went, I don't like you right now. Because that ain't what I wanted to hear, right? But that's what we've got to do. We cannot allow the devil to run us back into the cave that we're coming out of. And no matter what that devil looks like, come on, somebody. People that retreat into their own world say it's too much. A cave is your retreat. It's a place of safety. However, when you don't want to be found and the enemy wants to keep you backed into the place, the cave is also a place of damp and wet. How can your fire burn bright in a damp cave? How can you be a light to the world when you're trying to hide in a cave? See, here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to hide in a cave so he can steal your harvest. I think that's the next point, Roger. Yeah, stealing your harvest. If you will hide in a cave, then you can't stand watch over the harvest that you just invested in. If you will get back into the cave, then you won't stand guard over that relationship you just started, over that friendship, over that marriage, over that ministry that you have, that began in you. He wants you to run away from it, and you can't stand over what you just planted, and the devil comes in and steals it before it ever has a time to grow. After the Israelites, remember what I told you to underline? After the Israelites had sown, after they had planted, the devil doesn't fight you at the point of sowing. He fights you at the point of reaping. What the Amalekites and the Midianites and the children from the east would do is that they would wait till the Israelites did the work. Until the harvest began to come up. Then they would roll up in there and take all of their livestock and all of the things that they had been working on all year. And how could they do that? Because they were afraid and scared in a cave somewhere. How do you know that? Gideon was hiding behind the wine press threshing wheat. The devil can't steal or devour something you don't have. So he waits till you invest it and about to get it and then comes and steals it before you ever get it. Am I talking to anybody? See, so he waits for you to invest. He waits for you to sow. And don't raise your hand and don't point at nobody. But how many have ever said this? I'm a much better friend to people than they are to me. All right, I told you not to raise your hand, but I'm going to. I say that a lot. Because some of my friends, some of you are saying, that, well, I'm a better friend to you than, well, maybe you're not my friend. Don't run in no cave. I'm just kind of kidding, kind of. But you understand what I'm saying? And what the devil wants you to do is, I'm tired of sowing. Let me get over here with the marriage guy. This happens all the time in marriages. I'm tired of trying. I'm the only one in the relationship trying. I'm sick of it. I'm the only one that ever tries. I'm the only one that does anything. I'm the only one. Well, that's also what Elijah said too. When Elijah was in the cave, he told God, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed my knee to Baal. And that was a lie. Because there were 700 or 7,000. Which one was it? 7,000 that still hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. But yet here Elijah was saying, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. He felt like he was the only one. The devil wants you to think you're the only one who's ever done this. You're the only one. It happens to you all the time. Well, why don't you get to the point and say, devil, you ain't stealing this. You're not going to steal this relationship. You're not going to steal this investment. I've worked too hard and too long. And get a little moxie in you, man. Get a little guts up in you. Get a little fight up in you. Quit being a little punk and letting the devil punk you out. And stand up and begin to use the weapons of your warfare. Begin to use the word of God. Begin to use the spirit of God. Begin to pray and believe that what God said he would do, he will do in your life. He didn't just say it for the preacher. He didn't just say it for the super Christian. He said it for you, every child of God, every believer. He said it to you, and you got to decide that I'm a child of God, I'm a believer, so I'm going to stand on his word. And the Bible said in James 4:7, resist, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil and he shall flee. Good preaching. You invest relationships in education or self-help. You invest in your tithe. You give in your offerings. But about the time your harvest is about to come, the devil comes and backs you into a cave. You know why some people don't receive what God has for them? Because they ain't at the place where God sent the harvest. Listen, if... Come here, Rodney. If I told, hey, this is still cold. You want some water? All right. Do you want this water? I'm going to give you this water. But I want you to go over to that spot right over there between Terry, and I know your name. I do. Barbara. Barbara Whitehead. See, I knew your name. Go stand over there. But now, here's what we do. The Lord tells us where to go. And then, I want you to go over there now. Now, he heard me say go over there, but what we do is God tells us to go here. We go over there, and God says, okay. And we go, God, where are you? Lord, I'm waiting on my blessing. I'm waiting on the fresh fire. I'm waiting on the one. But the Lord, see, what you don't understand is the Lord has already determined. He has already, my God, he has already commanded the blessing. He has already told the blessing where to go. And the blessing has already left the hand of God to go to the place he commanded you to be. And if you're not there when the blessing get there, who loses? You. But we expect God to look go looking for us and go, oh, I didn't realize you was back in your cave. Understand that God knows exactly where you are. He knows when you're in his cave, but when he's already started the process, he's already started the motion, he's already started the blessing move, he's already commanded the blessing to go to where you were yesterday or where he told you to be today, it is your responsibility to do whatever you got to do to get to the place that God told you to go. Get over there. It is your responsibility to get to the place where God told you to go, so because it's already in the air, and when God throws or when God leaves God's hand, it is your responsibility to be where God told you to be, so that you could intersect with that blessing, so you can intersect with that anointing, so you can intersect with that multiplication and have what God said you can have. Thank you. Come on, give God some praise in this house. Woo, my God, that'll preach. Woo! The miracle's already left heaven. The blessing's already left his hand. Where are you? Are you at the designated place? Or are you hiding in a cave somewhere? Because somebody hurt your feelings. Are you hiding in a cave somewhere because somebody made you mad? Are you hiding somewhere because you didn't have enough faith? My God. It's one of the most frustrating places of life, which is to live at the perpetual breakthrough, but never quite getting through. Well, then what? Then it begs the question, what is the problem? Well, the problem, it ain't God. It's probably the direction that we have not heard or have not followed. My Lord Jesus. You glad you came tonight? You can see your future. You can see your future, but you can't quite grab it. Sooner or later, you've got to realize that God will never bring your harvest into your cave. See, my God. Now, we Pentecostal. What does that mean? That means we like to shout, jump, buck, woohoo, we like to dance. I mean, I love dancing. Some people go, well, I quit dancing when I got saved. Not me, I just changed partners. Amen, I still dance, baby. But for whatever reason, we want God to give it to us, and then we get it into our hand, and then we'll praise him, then we'll shout, then we'll glorify God. But what you don't understand is the moment that God said it, it's already yours. The moment he said it, remember the prophet? That the king wanted him to curse what God had blessed. He said, God forbid. He said, I cannot curse what God has blessed. It cannot stop what God has already set in motion. So you just got to make sure you're at the place where the miracle, the anointing, the blessing intersects with your destination. He comes to you and says, it's time for you to come out of your place of hiding so you can get your harvest. It's the trick of the enemy to keep you backed up inside a cave. You can't get to where you're going by hiding in that cave. And you have stuff in you wanting to get out of you. You have dreams to dream and mountains to conquer and devils to cast out. But you can't do that hiding in a cave. Oh, I got 10 minutes and I got 3 points. All right. What you need is a word from God. What you need is a word from God. Now, we have people in our church. God uses me to operate in the gift of the word of knowledge, gift of the word of prophecy. And that's the kind of word we want. We want somebody to go, yes, you, come forward, yes. The Lord would say unto thee, and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, yes, oh. That's what we want. But God says, I've given you 66 books worth of word. All right? Now, listen, I'm not against that. I operate in it, so I'm not against it. God gives me word for people from time to time. Matter of fact, let me just tell you this. God used to give me more words than he does now, but God stopped it. I'll tell you why. Back when we was in the old church, here's what the Lord said to me. People are coming, Ronnie, to hear a word from God from you instead of a word from God from me. What we need is a word from God. And I don't need a word from God that, well, here's what God says to you. No, I need for God to say it to me. Because if it doesn't happen, I'll blame you. I'll blame you if it doesn't. Well, he said it was the Lord, but I ain't sure if it was the Lord. It didn't happen. I just don't know. No, I need God to say it. So then when it doesn't happen, I go back to the originator of the promise and ask God, God, why? What did I do? Where did I go wrong? What's going on with the harvest that you promised in my life? A word to Gideon dwelling among the people who were hiding. Think about this. God gave Gideon a word among the people where he was hiding, doing just enough to survive, but not enough to revive. I'm glad I serve a God that knows how to find my hiding place. Woo! He knows how to find my hiding place. When I'm too weak and I'm too scared to come out, he'll come right up in the midst of my hiding place and say, "What are you doing here, you mighty man of valor? Why do you sit here?"
Well, haven't you seen all the people out there, and I've been hurt, and there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and I'm a little scared.
God found Gideon while he was hiding. I believe tonight God's finding somebody. I believe God's finding somebody tonight. While you're hiding. While you're hiding behind, I'm not sure. While you're hiding behind, I'm not sure if I believe in this stuff. While you're hiding, God is finding you. God does not speak to your present pain. He speaks to your future potential. He doesn't speak to where you are right now. Many times he speaks to what your future potential, what is inside of you, that seed that is inside of you. This is a story about the power of relationships and the strategy of God. To get out or to get to where you're going, you have to have the right relationships. Now, God gave him a word, but he couldn't do it on his own. So, man, he set out a cry, and 33,000 men came to help him. Well, that didn't encourage you, won't it? Like, well, check this out. All right. 33,000 men have come to help me. And here I have three old guys who came to help me. They hadn't even got it yet, did they? The three old guys that God came to help me. And I'm still waiting for God to send me a bad Negro. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Help him, Jesus. To get to where you're going, you got to have relationships. You got to have people. They'll never get. Listen, there are plenty of haters in the world. And they'll never get excited about your blessing. Get away from the haters. Get away from them. Get around some celebrators. You know, there are some people I want to celebrate with, but I can't tell them because they're haters. You know what I'm talking about? There's some things God's done in your life and you want somebody to celebrate with, and you're just kind of looking around. Who can I tell that won't think I'm bragging, and who can I tell that will celebrate with me instead of judge me? It's sad. You can't tell people you paid off your house because you're afraid they're going to ask you for some money. Right? You can't tell people for what you bought your car for because they're going to want you to sell it to them for cheaper than what you bought it for. You can't hardly tell nobody that what great things God has done and doing for your children because their children's all out, tripping out and wigged out. Get around somebody who will celebrate with you. Some folks just Some folks just got hiding in their blood. Get away from the haters. Get around some people who are legitimately happy about your success. Listen, please, let me help some of you. Are you ready? Here comes my bad Negro. Let me tell you something. You ever get tired of this? You tell somebody something great God's doing or whatever, and they go, huh, must be nice. God, that's so aggravating, isn't it? Let me tell you how to get it by. You ready? Here's what you do. You go, it is. And give them one of them, you should try it sometime. It shuts people up all the time. You know, I was able to take my family 2 years ago to Hawaii. Somebody at church go, must be nice. I went, it is. If you was disciplined and saved like I did for 3 years, you could do it too. But everybody don't want to talk about your sacrifice. Nobody wants to talk about your hard work. They just want what you got. My God, I'm preaching right now. I got to quit. $33,000 men. And the Lord said, you got too many with you. Ask the ones who were scared to go ahead and leave. So he gets up and goes, hey, dude, check it out, guys. If you're scared, go and leave. 22,000 men left. If that had been me, I'm going with them. Anytime you hang out with cave dwellers, you're going to find a strong spirit of fear. See, they wasn't there when the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor. They wasn't there when you got a word from God. They wasn't there when you heard God speak, when you heard the miracle of God or saw the miracle of God. Separate yourself from the people who speak to your fear. Now, that's right, preacher. That's why I quit work. No. You can't quit going to work. But quit debating the issue. Smile, let their mouth move, but don't let it get in you. We do it all the time already. Every man in this building knows what I'm talking about. Your wife start talking, you just kind of zone out. Mm-hmm, yeah. Ball game's on. Yeah, baby. Yeah, sure. You don't know what they said. When the haters start talking at work, listen, when this person came to my house, I just let them talk. I ain't going to debate. I just went, okay. It's amazing. Don't let the words of the haters get inside of you. Replace it with what God said. Learn that everybody... My God, I got to quit. Learn that everybody that's talking don't know what they're talking about. Just because you're saying some words don't mean you know what you're saying. You ever talk to people who don't have a clue what they're talking about? I mean, like, you know, You know stuff. You know, I could go over here and talk to Ryan, who's a mechanic, right? Yeah. I could talk to Ryan. Ryan could talk to me about mechanic stuff, and I'd just go, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, you got to replace them flux capacitors every once in a while. Because I don't know nothing about no car. I know you put gas in it, you turn the crank, and when it breaks down, I take it to Ryan or take it to Jim. Right? But some people just talk and they don't know nothing what they're talking about. They try to tell you about God, but their life is a wreck. That's why the enemy wants your life a wreck, so that you have no substance to talk about when you talk. My God. I might need to do a series on this thing right here. Quit allowing what they say to get in you. They discourage you. They are concerned. You ever notice they're concerned about you now when you get saved? You ever notice that? Well, I'll tell you right now, you got to be careful about becoming one of them fanatics. You be careful. Especially if you come to our church. I mean, people, you know, I've been called worse. Well, I'll tell you what, them people are a little weird over there. You know, they get doing all that stuff and falling on the ground. You don't want to be a part of that. You're going to get labeled. You're going to get labeled. Well, I might get labeled, but I'm going to get free. But it's amazing. Where were they at when you was in the club dropping it like it's hot? Where were they at when you was in the club sleeping around? Where was their concern about you then? Where was their concern about you when you was about to blow your brains out? But now that you got religion, you don't want to get too religious. You know, blah, 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 blah. Now that you've got some substance, now they're concerned about you. Let me teach you something. Here's what you do to them. You ain't even worth the hand. Just close your pie hole. Because I'm a worship God. I'm a worship God. Because I know God's got some stuff inside of me. Come on, stand to your feet. I know God's got some stuff inside of me. I know that God's got some stuff inside of me. I know that God's trying to bring some things out of me. And I'm going to get it my designated place. I'm going to get it my designated place. Come on, just lift your hands. I've been talking to some folks already tonight. You know I've been talking to you. And I know it's 8:30. I know it's 8:35 now. I know we're supposed to be done. Kira la bosotora. But I've been talking to you. You know there's some things inside of you and you've been hiding in a cave in some areas. I want to ask you, would you just step out of your cave tonight? Come up here and join me. Just step out of your cave. Yeah. Just step out of your cave. Come on. Step out of your cave. Quit letting the enemy hold you back and keep you back.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.